This is Rediscover Life with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect with your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. So glad you're able to join me today as we continue our series on godly discipline. Amen. And because I could have just called it discipline, but I think godly discipline gives a Christian context to what's happening, because the reality is everybody aspires to discipline of some kind at the start of the year when we make New Year's resolutions. And yet in many instances, people break them before the day is over. And so again, this isn't mind over matter. This is faith over feelings. This is godly discipline. This is discipline in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, Paul the Apostle said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So again, this isn't about us trying to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. This isn't about us trying to, you know, just exert tremendous willpower to change our lives. This is about us surrendering to the power of the Holy Spirit and instituting godly discipline in our lives so that we can be the men and women God's called us to be. And so there's a number of areas we need to be disciplined. We need to be disciplined in the area of our thoughts. Isaiah 26 and 3, him will you keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And so we need to train our minds to think in a godly way. We need to be able to deal with the thoughts in our minds, particularly those thoughts that are contrary to the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And so here the Bible acknowledges the importance of pulling down strongholds that exist in our mind, dealing with the thoughts, casting down those thoughts that are contrary to the word of God. And it says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And so bringing those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, and we cannot bring them captive to the obedience of Christ if we're not bringing them captive to the obedience to the word of God. So any thought that's contrary to what God's word says about us, we need to learn to cast them down, because that's where most of the spiritual warfare occurs, actually, is in between your two ears, because, you know, the enemy attacks our minds. And, you know, this is why the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. And so, again, I like that saying, let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. We need to foster and develop the mind of Christ. And that means we need to work on our thoughts. We need to deal with our mind, because if you don't deal with your mind will deal with you. And so we need to discipline our minds to not go there, to not give in to despair, to not be negative, to not focus on what's going wrong to the exclusion of the promises of God. That's why Paul, the apostle, writing from a stinking Roman jail in Philippians 4:4, said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So here the Bible talks about the peace of God, which goes beyond understanding. It will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. So the peace of God will guard not just your heart, but your mind, because your mind needs to be guarded. And that's why, you know, the Bible says in Ephesians 6, dealing with the armor of God, talks about the helmet of salvation. And so one of the things a soldier had to protect was his head, or his, I believe, symbolic of our mind, because in many instances, that's where the warfare is. And I'll say this as a pastor for many years now, dealing with many people, many different backgrounds. You know, I would say irrespective of your socioeconomic background, irrespective of how much you have or what you've accomplished or how many letters are after your name, every one of us deal with the same thing in this regard, is we all struggle at times with our mind. This is where the enemy attacks us with thoughts of inadequacy, thoughts of despair, maybe even thoughts of taking your life. You know, fears, whether founded in reality or fantasy, you know, real or imagined, you know, thoughts of, you know, you're praying one thing and you're thinking another. And eventually your thoughts become verbalized and you end up negating the prayers that you've prayed by speaking negative words. And again, all of this originates in the realm of our minds. And this is where we need to renew our minds with the word of God. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies unto God, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the Bible says if you want to be transformed, it will come as you renew your mind with God's word. And so this is where we need to play our part in putting the word of God, Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So have you been renewing your mind with the word of God? This is something we have to work at on a daily basis. And verse 8, you know, it talks about the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus in verse 7. But then verse 8 continues, and it shows us what that looks like in a way. I believe it shares a key to having the peace of God guarding your mind and your heart. Because it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So here Paul is telling us, fix your mind on this. Don't fix your mind on that. Don't fix your mind on the problem or, you know, on the issue or the, you know, all of the negative thoughts the enemy is putting there or all of the, you know, possibilities whereby things could go wrong. So many times we fear all sorts of issues that might never happen. But, and again, Paul was having to practice this in real time because he was in prison. You know, he was waiting his imminent execution. He was in prison in either Rome or Ephesus, but, you know, awaiting his execution. And he wasn't in a good place. It was a very dark place he was in. And yet Paul was practicing this himself. And so he goes the extra mile. And rather than writing a letter to describe his circumstances or surroundings, you know, looking for sympathy or, you know, seeking help, he's trying to help these people. And so he is really telling them to institute some of these habits, I believe, that he was practicing himself. And so he talks about the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And so he tells us how to do this. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure. Have you ever been tempted to think on things that weren't true, that weren't noble, that weren't just, that weren't pure, that weren't lovely? Yes, it might have been true, but it probably wasn't pure or lovely. Whatever things are of good report. I mean, how many times have we been staying awake at night because we've been meditating on the bad report? You know, it doesn't mean it's an unfactual report, but, you know, it's a bad report. And, you know, Numbers 13 talks about how, you know, the spies, 10 of them brought back a bad report, 2 of them brought back a good report. And ultimately, you know, everyone got what they were believing for. Those who said we're going to die in the wilderness, guess what? They died in the wilderness. And the 2 men who said, you know, we're well able to take the land. If God be with us, we can do this. Guess what? They went in to take the land. And that's Joshua and Caleb, because they were of a different spirit. And so if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And so here the Bible is telling us the secret to having a happy life. People say happy wife, happy life. And I certainly agree with that on one level. But on a much greater level, I think this applies to all of us, irrespective of whether you're married or single. And that is, you know, happy mind, happy life. And so, you know, we need to guard our thoughts. We need to filter our thoughts. We need to cast down the negative thoughts. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, then you shall have good success. And so I know I've dealt with this to a degree already, but certainly as a pastor, it's something I come against quite frequently, is where people are held in bondage and even held in prison because of their thoughts, because of their way of thinking. And their stinking thinking is literally choking the life of them. It's killing them slowly. It's suffocating their faith, and it's, you know, suffocating their dreams. And if you want to live differently, you have to think differently. And the key to thinking differently is found in God's word. And so, glory to God. I hope that helped you today. And we'll get into this in greater detail tomorrow. This is Pastor John from All Nations Church, thanking you for listening today. Hope you can join us again tomorrow right here on UCB Ireland. God bless you.